Hey, you listen to this podcast. Go to myplayvolution.com, click the Amazon icon, bookmark that page, and use it every time you shop on Amazon. It's a way for you to support the show without costing you anything. And it's a win-win-win. Amazon wins because you buy their stuff, and you win because you get stuff. And we win because we get a few pennies per purchase. Win-win-win. What could be better? Come on, do it. Please? Explorations Early Learning has been producing low-tech, high-think toys for years. Check out our yummy wooden delights at explorationsearlylearning.com under the Shop tab. And think about joining the Toy of the Month Club. For a reasonable monthly fee, we ship you a sweet, sweet box of play.
Alrighty, sir.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson, coming to you live from a undisclosed. We're coming from Southern Command. On the phone with me is Lisa Murphy. How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm groovy here at Southern Command. Things are good. Last time I tried to record from Southern Command, I forgot a cable back in 1,500 miles away in Iowa. So things are working a lot better now with the appropriate cableage. I got a topic cable first. I got a topic first to get into. But first, I got to tell you about my morning. I walked down the beach to the Hyatt because I got one of those little Starbucks, like hotel Starbucks things there, not like the big full
right.
Starbucks, but and their machine was broken.
Oh God.
And they were giving out free coffee, but I don't drink coffee. I wanted my chai tea. And I thought, well, the Starbucks, the next one is, it's only a 2 mile walk. And so I walked Starbucks and hung out in Starbucks for a few minutes and had my chai and did a little bit of work and then walked back and most of the way back I got your message that you could record and I was just, oh, that long walk, I'm just exhausted. How was your race last weekend? Now for our listeners, compare my long walk to, what did you do last weekend, Lisa?
Well, but see, okay, I did 14 miles, but the difference here, because I know some of our listeners are runners and trail runners of that, 14 miles on a trail course is a hell of a lot different than 14 miles on the road. And I got my ass handed to me on a platter. And I mean, I called it a good trail spanking. And the only reason that it bothered me so much is because I didn't train for it. I mean, I kid you not, this is the first time I literally like woke up and said, fuck, I don't got anything going on today. And so I showed up with, you know, 200 other people and, you know, a little less than 4 hours later, I was like crawling across the finish line and once again lost a toenail. But yeah, I was pretty spanked. I pretty much, this was Saturday, what's today, Monday? I'm pretty much just moving around right about now. I had better mobility after my 100, and I'm not even exaggerating.
I'll be feeling like that tomorrow when I'll wake up and I'll be so exhausted. I'll be feeling just like I ran that race just from my long walk.
That's oh my gosh, from your long walk to go get a coffee. Oh my gosh. I couldn't move so bad. I mean, I for some of you who don't know, I'm currently in a life transition, so I'm moving my furniture and I've sold some of it and some of it's gone and some of it's already relocated and so I don't have any living room furniture. So, you know, so every now and again when you want to, like, pop your butt on the couch and watch a movie, like, I don't have that now. So we call it the pillow fort. I just throw a bunch of blankets and pillows on the floor. So I set up my pillow fort and started to watch movies. I woke up, like, 12 hours later.
Your pillow fort.
On the floor. And I'm like, you know what? I got to go to bed. I was so exhausted. It's, you know, and I'm not a tired person. I mean, the joke after I did my 100-mile race was, well, we finally found what, you know, gets Lisa Murphy tired. apparently you have to train for races, even if they're only 14 miles, or you just get a wicked spanking. But yeah, there's my weekend pity party. It was awesome. I was surrounded by some great people, good friends, awesome runners, a lot of support. But yeah, I was reminded that you really should train for things.
Well, it takes for you to do that. I got to imagine it takes a fair amount of self-confidence to just wake up one morning and say, hey, I haven't really trained for this, but I'm going to go do it anyway. That takes some cojones
it is.
There.
It's one of those. I mean, you got a set of balls on you. And actually, I went to packet pickup the night before, and they're like, you know, it's really nice. Because, you know, I've been really busy and on the road, and, you know, everybody plays the busy card. But I mean, I haven't been around, so I've been able to train. And that's why I was supposed to do a 50 2 weeks ago, and I bailed. I'm like, I'm not trained. I'm not ready for it. I'm not going to go out and get injured on purpose. So I had registered for this one and went in for packet pickup. And one of the guys that I know really well from the running group I run with looked at me and he goes, so you're going to do this, huh? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, you didn't train for this. I'm like, no. And he goes, well, you know, if memory serves me, you've never really had your ass handed to you on a silver platter before. And so he called it, man. He called it. And I got wicked spanked. And I kept, you know, and it sounds so overdramatic, but it's not true. I mean, I ran the first, it was an out and back. So we ran, it was like 7 miles and seven back. So it was a little more than a half. And I ran pretty much the whole first way. And I was even telling myself, girl, you better save some for the way back. Girl, you better save some for the way back. I pretty much ran, walked the whole way back and like pulling myself up by trees and like sitting on stumps. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing? But the thought that kept going through my head was, girl, you ran 100 miles only 3 years ago. Get your ass in gear, get focused, and even if you just walk this, finish it.
Finish it.
Finish it.
And you're out on a trail.
Put your closer on it.
You're out on a trail. You can't call a cab.
Don't bail on it. Oh, I was ready. Oh, my God. At every aid station, not even aid station. They weren't aid stations. They were water stops. At every water stop, I was like, oh, fuck. But you know what I will tell you about runners? And I know this is not really what you wanted to talk about, but maybe it was.
Oh, it connects.
There are not many other situations where you can come hobbling down to mile 10 and look at people that you barely know and say, put ice on my boobs right now. There's only a few places. And in a few contexts where you can say that, and one, people respond, and two, it doesn't matter who it is. Oh, my God, it was like 95 degrees with 200% humidity. I mean, oh, my God, I'm like, put ice down my shirt right now. Put ice. And then they're like, did you want ice down your pants? And you're like, sure, just put ice everywhere on me. I am so dying right now.
Runners
are great people.
If you hear me getting electrocuted, you just made me do a spit take all over my mixer.
But ice, movie, now. You know, there's only a few places where you can do that. Well, legally, anyway.
All of this does kind of tie into the topic I had in mind, the idea of confidence, the idea of having your ass handed to you, and the idea of pulling yourself up and making change and doing a thing. Stick with me here for a minute while we work into this. When it comes to education in America, would you agree that some of the biggest influencers, some of the biggest deciders out there are the schools, big business, organized labor, and the Congress of the United States? You agree they're kind of the decision makers for the most part?
Yes, but not necessarily in that order.
Not necessarily in that order. No. Okay, so I was reading some statistics because, you know, I was doing that.
Because I'm rubbing off on you.
Yeah, apparently that's what I do down here at Southern Command. I read nerdy stuff. And no, it's from Gallup. It's they've got a fairly decent reputation most of the time. These numbers are from June of this year. Percentage of Americans who have confidence in these organizations, a percentage of Americans who have a great deal of confidence in schools, 12%. Percentage of Americans who have a great deal of confidence in organized labor, 12%. Percentage of Americans who have a great deal of confidence in big business, 9%. Percentage of Americans who have a great deal of confidence in Congress, 4%. And these are the people we are trusting to make choices about our education system. What the holy heck is up with that, Lisa Murphy?
Well, at some point we decided that teachers couldn't do their jobs, and we started micromanaging. And, you know, it's the lobster pot. And all of a sudden one thing leads to another, and we go, what the hell happened? How come I'm not the boss of this anymore? And it's hard to, you can't really pinpoint one day, week, or month, or year that happened. It's been a slow process that keeps just getting worse and worse, right? The heat just keeps getting dialed up. But you know, I don't think education really has anything to do with teaching and kids and, you know, democracy anymore, really at all. And I know this is a gross generalization that I'm making right now, because there's pockets of it where it actually is. But I would say as a system or as an institution, we are completely disconnected from probably, well, actually, you know what? I can't say that. I was going to say from what the original intent was. I think we've pendulum swung away. Swing? Do you like that? Swung. Yeah. We've done swung away from perhaps, you know, what the original intention behind mandated schooling was. But, you know, I've never really thought that mandated schooling is what we should do. I mean, I'm going to start riffing on topics that have nothing to do with this. I think the point you're trying to make is that the people who are making decisions that are influencing our children, our lives, our livelihoods, the people in this profession, the people that are making those decisions do not have a place of confidence or trust amongst at least the poll that you're referencing from Gallup. And there's definitely some conversation there. But the other point there is that we've put a lot of those people in those positions. So, you know, it's that horrible vicious cycle of, you know, oh, I didn't vote because it doesn't matter. Well, apparently it does, you know. And it's funny, one of my favorite quotes from Carol Mooney is that, you know, if you refuse to participate, you relinquish your right to pontificate. And I think sometimes it trickles back to that.
Yeah, my biggest problem with this is that we don't, and looking a little bit into these numbers, according to Gallup, this is a survey, this is one of their ongoing things, and U.S. Congress, I think it's in the last 6 of the last 7 years, has been above 20% in 1 of 6 of 7 years, which is...
But we don't do anything about it.
Exactly.
From my lens, I feel like we've become very apathetic. Everybody's waiting for the proverbial Moses to come in and, like, shake it all up and make it all better. And, you know, that's not going to happen. We got to own some of what we're bitching about.
Yeah, we keep trusting people we don't trust with the welfare of our children. And that's just insanity. I see some of these, and I see organizations and individuals make posts about, oh, Congress is deciding this. Please let your congressman know, blah, blah, blah. Congress can't, the whole of our Congress could not find their way out of a well-lit room imagine a giant conference room with a 40-foot exit sign over a bank of doors. These men and women could not find their way out of that room without assistance. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but they don't do, excuse me, fuck for children or for people, and we keep trusting them to do more. We keep sending them back. We keep giving them money. We keep hoping for change.
Well, some of that, Jeff, though, and here's where I'll do some total full disclosure to our listeners and perhaps even to you. I am not very well versed in American politics as a whole. I mean, I've got my finger pretty close on a couple of buttons or a couple of topics, but I mean, as a general rule, you know, I don't avoid political discussions for the old adage of, you know, there's the three conversations you avoid at a cocktail party, right? You know, religion, politics, and sex. It's not because I subscribe to that. It's just because I kind of know where my strengths are and my weaknesses are, and I'm not going to intentionally put myself into a situation where, you know, I know that I'm kind of have to claim honest ignorance. So, you know, I don't ever want to present like I know more than I do, especially if somebody's then expecting me to maintain my end of a conversation, you know, about certain topics. And so this is one of those areas where it's not out of any sense of wanting to avoid anything. It's just that I honestly, in some of these situations, just really don't know any better. What I do know, though, is that if you put people in a situation and you've known full well that they have no knowledge of a certain topic, but then you punish them for making poor decisions about the topic that they never claimed to know anything about. But you, as somebody who know about that topic, have not done anything to enlighten them. That's more of where my interest kind of peaks, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't know everything about everything, right? And not that I ever had any really, like, you know, political office, you know, aspirations at all. But the reality is that you can't know everything about everything. So you got to surround yourself with people that know a little bit about the stuff that you don't know anything about. And then collectively, you hope that you're making decisions in the highest and best interest of the people that you represent. But you got a bunch of early childhood people who are never weighing in with the people that are put there. So yeah, they're not making good decisions, but who's guiding them? And who on the inside track, who has that kind of information, is taking the time out of their busy days, you know, to let them at least know, hey, I'm over here if you got a question.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's,
yeah, well,
that's kind of my stance on some of this.
Okay, well, two of those over here, if you got a question people, I think are, if listeners want to hear from one of those people, they can go back to the interview we did with author of Free to Learn, Peter Gray, where he talked about, you know, that reaching that tipping point where enough people are going to be opting out of the tests, enough people are going to be choosing homeschooling, that the system is going to be forced to change. And that is slowly happening. I think out in Washington State, there was the numbers of juniors and seniors this last year who opted out of the mandated testing were huge across the state, and that's happening more and more places. I think another one, and I got a quote to throw at you, is Sir Ken Robinson in his new book, Creative Schools. A quote, I just read it this morning and posted it, revolutions don't wait for legislation. They emerge from what people do at the ground level.
Hey, it kind of sounds like he paraphrased what's on the bottom of my handout since January, that revolutions are not financed by the crown. I'm not accusing him of stealing from me, by the way. I'm just saying that, you know, we've been saying this for a long time. We keep sitting around waiting for somebody else to do it. If it's bothering you that much, do something about it. And if you're not willing to put your head on the chopping block, at least support the people who are out there who are.
And we've got a whole episode coming up on this, and I can't even remember when it's going to post, but it's about going out and causing an effect in our communities, about us being the ones that make a difference. If we get frustrated with the way things are, if we are not happy with the decisions the people we put trust in are making and our trust in them dwindles, we have to be the ones that take responsibility for making a change and put some effort into making things better. And it's not an easy thing to do, but if it's going to happen, it's the only way it happens. The revolution has to start from the grassroots, and we, the mommies and the daddies and the caregivers and the preschool teachers and the kindergarten teachers and the first grade teachers and the principals, are the ones that have to be the ones that stand up and make some noise and make some change if we want things to happen.
And this, Jeff, is probably one of the handful of topics where I potentially am the one that starts to piss people off a little bit more than you, which is a role reversal. Did I make you spit your drink out again?
No, I kept it in this time.
You kept it in this time?
Yep.
My threshold, my tolerance for listening to people bitch and moan and whine about stuff that they are not willing to do one iota about, it's like gone. Gone. And not to the sense that I'm not going to have a professional conversation with somebody, but I really, and I don't know if that's just me getting older or crabbier or just, I don't even really know what it's about. But, you know, the minute that you say that something's wrong and solutions are pointed out to you and you still don't do anything about it and still keep whining, I don't understand the level of, I don't know if that's just selfishness or laziness, but if it's really that bad, you're going to do something about it. And about 2 years ago, and we've talked about this times, and I don't remember when it was, but it was long enough ago to where I don't remember when it was, but it was recent enough for me to be able to say, like, probably in the last year, I posted something on the Facebook page that said, what would actually have to happen to motivate you all to act? You're like, what would that actually have to look like? Because I hear a lot of whining on the road. I hear a lot of bitching, and I'm guilty to that. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. But, you know, in my own little world, I'm chipping away at stuff. Like, at the end of the day, I feel like I've done something about it, either a big thing or a very baby step little thing, but something to work towards the goal and the ideal that I say publicly on record that I'm out there working towards. But, you know, it's you got to be willing to put some elbow grease into it, or it's really not bothering you that much.
I got, and you're kind of caught up in the
vehicle of whining, which is not doing anybody any good.
I got an elbow grease story for you. Last night we were out, went down to a local pub to listen to a band, and they're setting up.
Shut
and
up.
Everything.
You were in a pub.
I was.
You
in
were
a,
not.
It was more of a bar, maybe not quite a pub, but it was an establishment that served adult beverages. So we're there, and the band is setting up, and you know, they're doing, you know, getting all their gear set up, and the bass sounds real good, and the drummer beats on his skins a little bit, and that sounds real good, and the singer/guitarist plays a few riffs, and he sounds real good, and I'm thinking, okay, we haven't heard this group before, and really looking forward to it, and they get through two songs, and his vocals mic is just crap, not adjusted well, and he sounds like he's got his head in like a 50 gallon aquarium full of packing peanuts. And
oh my God.
And so they take a little break, but, you know, grab a drink of water between the two songs, and I'm sitting 10 foot away. I say, hey, your vocals mic is sounding like shit. And he says, oh, I just turned it up. It's his response.
Turned it up.
And they go back to playing, and it sounds like it had before, but louder. And they get into the fourth song, and some people leave. And they get into the fifth song, and a few more people leave. And when he steps back from the mic, and they're just playing, it's great. But he gets close to that mic, and people are twinging. And then he's getting this look on his face, like, why are people walking out on me? And I just went up, and I told him why things, but he didn't see it. And so sometimes, even when we do go about putting some effort in, when I'm going to change something, I'm going to turn up the volume, we're not putting effort in the right direction,
in the right spot.
So the whole idea of us getting involved and making change, we know how hard it is and can be, and how you can put your full might into changing a thing, and it might not be really the thing that needs changing even. And so it's incredibly complicated. And heck, we try things and they fail, and then we go try other things, and it's a huge ongoing
battle.
That's
very important. That's very important. That midstream adjustment. Okay, so this is what stopped me almost dead in my tracks probably 2 or 3 years ago, where I said I made a conscious, I had an awareness, like an aha, that I had been so overly focused on trying to find the most strategic point of entry, like knowing full well, if you can imagine like a circle, like a wheel, right? Like a wheel, like the wheel of fortune wheel, like, and all of these spokes off of the wheel, like, and those are all the identified areas within the field of early childhood that might need some attention. I was so busy focused on where's the one entry point that's going to make the quickest, like, ripple effect, knowing full well that one point of insertion was not going to be the thing that made it better, but it was going to start that ripple that would affect this, and then that, and then this, and then that, and this, and then that. I was so busy trying to think where the best spot was that I probably spent 6 months doing absolutely nothing except overanalyzing, right?
Yeah.
So although my brain thought it was working, I really wasn't acting on anything, and it was that. It was after that conversation that you and I started, at least I took it as like then my mantra for the next year, which was advocacy through action.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stop overly thinking where that entry point is. Pick something, lock and load, do something about it, and then pull back and make a midstream adjustment if necessary, or keep the inertia and the movement going ahead.
Absolutely.
But do something. Stop talking about it.
And that coming up for air and checking things out and making adjustments is a huge thing. If after the fourth song that singer would have said, hey, is this sounding any better? I would have said
right. No,
and he could have fiddled with the knobs a little bit and got back on, and then half of those people wouldn't have walked out on them, and we would have stayed for 3 hours instead of for 50 minutes and drank
okay,
more.
So tell me, tell me this, because of what I know about you personally and professionally, what would have happened if you just went in and dusted a soundboard? I mean, I know it's bad luck. You should never touch another person's soundboard. But, I mean, did it cross your mind to just go over and make one little tweak of adjustment?
No, because I don't care that much. Because, you know, there's another band tomorrow night and another one down the street. So if he doesn't give a fuck about about the way his band sounds, I shouldn't. And now, conversely, the night before in that same bar, there had been a band that started playing 30 minutes later than they were scheduled because they were futzing and tweaking with their amps and microphones to get everything sounded right, and the place was packed because people know that group puts on a good show. It might start late, but they are going to rock the hell out of the place, and it was standing room only. This place shows up. I mean, there's the place is half full when they start, and got progressively more empty as they played. So you know what you put into it, you know, you build a reputation.
Well, you
got to
pay
too.
Attention.
Yeah,
you got to pay. You're sounding like a Seth Godin post here, or Godin. I don't know how you say his name, but I'm feeling like there's, you know, such a bigger takeaway message should people read into it in what you're sharing here, with both of the stories, both the anecdotes of the band. You know, if I know that I'm going to get a return on my investment, even though right now I'm standing here for 30 minutes and goddammit, it said they were starting at 10, but man, I heard that they don't really start till 10:30, but man, that was a hell of a show.
Yeah.
You know, I'm willing to stand around and wait for it.
Yeah.
But you know, then this group that starts on time, but it's crap the whole time, you know, I'm out of here. So, you know, they're both putting out that effort, but, you know, sometimes that quality, right, really does, you know, make a difference to what it is, where we're directing our energy, giving us the most return or the most impact. And if we do come up for air and we realize it's not, then what are we willing to do about it? Or are we so locked and loaded on this being the formula that has become familiar that we just pound harder at it, even though we need a screwdriver instead of a hammer? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And to wrap things up, if we have determined that the educational deciders, Congress and the schools and big business and big labor aren't making good decisions for us, and we don't have any confidence in them, they're like that first band I talked about. They're not willing to stick their heads up and adjust the knobs and get things right. They're going to keep doing things the way they've been doing them, because they're in power and they don't care what the rest of us think. Wouldn't it be awesome if they were like that other band and worked real hard to get things right?
Yeah, and I know you're wanting to wrap it up, but I got a comment on what you just said, that if the first band is kind of what's a little representation of what's going on here, so you've got people who left without doing anything about it, just but maybe bitched about it, or you got people in the room who maybe could have done something about it but chose not to for whatever reason. I mean, I think those two things also add to the mix. So, you know, we're always going to be faced with those things. I mean, we're never going to wake up one day and it's only the second band. I mean, there's always going to be the first band kind of situations that we find ourselves in.
Yeah. For a lot of people, homeschooling is becoming that second band for more and more people. That's a movement that's grown hugely in the last 20 years.
Huge.
And the opt out movement is another one of those second bands. We're gonna if the group we've been listening to isn't going to give us something that's worth hearing, we're going to continually keep shifting to those other alternatives, I think is what it is. And that's one of the ways that we can make change. So more power to the people that are doing those things, I think.
Yes, and if you are fortunate enough to have a second band option in your community, then go embrace, you know, what might be your real tribe. And if you're looking and feeling frustrated because, you know, there isn't a second band option, then, you know, grow a set and grab some collaborators and make your own damn band.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And do it for yourself instead of waiting for somebody to come and do it for you.
If you don't have any confidence in the systems that's out there, build something new. And speaking,
or stop complaining. Yeah.
Speaking of building something new, Lisa and I are working on building something new. We're starting to prepare to start rolling out some online e-learning things. We're still trying to figure out the structure, but we need input and we need people to help us get the ball rolling. So if you go to my website, explorationsearlylearning.com, and you click on the training tab, and a drop down will show up, and at the bottom there'll be something that says e-learning, and you click on that, you can see what's going on there. But what I'd really like you to do is, one, click the subscribe to our mailing list button so you can stay updated on what we're doing, and two, take a survey that we're putting out there, because we're trying to collect information about what people are wanting and needing, and seeing what the benefits and negatives are of this kind of way of delivering training, not only to caregivers but to the mommies and daddies out there, on early learning topics. Are we could really use your clicks and digital input as we're building this new thing, because like we've talked about, we're always out there trying to try new things, and this is the newest of those things for us.
Yeah, and Jeff is the boss of it, because I have no idea how to update my website.
Well, we'll work on that too. This has been another episode of the Child Care and Bar Girl podcast. We'll be back Friday with another show. Thanks for listening, as always. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Having a hard time sleeping? Off your feed? Feeling blah, blasé, down? Maybe you need more Lisa Murphy in your life. Check out ooeygooey.com and hunt her down on Twitter and Instagram. It'll make your life better. Hey, we're starting a revolution, a play revolution, a playvolution. Get it? Come on over and check it out at www.myplayvolution.com. It's an online community for parents and early learning professionals who want to chat and share information and talk and educate themselves and educate others about what's going on in the early learning profession. Let's face it, Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter aren't as warm and cuddly as we might like them to be. This is your community, a place you're going to help create. Come on over. Don't be afraid. Check it out. Jump in. Support the community. Be the community. We need you. Got it? See you there. Thanks for listening to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. If you like the show, check out our other offerings, Shots, Lisa's Book Report, and Tom Copeland's Taking Care of Business. And we'd love it if you shared them with friends, left a comment at myplayvolution.com, and gave them 5 stars on iTunes. Thanks. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh. Right.